All right, welcome to the Free Stretch, week before free agency edition of the show. I'm Bobby Fenton here on JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you for joining us on this. Well, it's Thursday, midday when I'm recording this. You could be listening to it anytime over the next week. But either way, we've got plenty to get to on the show today. As since we last talked, of course, the Buccaneers have made a couple of moves and re-signed, or in one case, franchised one of their players and re-signed another one with Chris Godwin and Lavonte David. There are still more names pending. There are other things going on around the league and with the Buccaneers. And, of course, there's some other stuff I want to get to today as we do this on the 1 year, I mean, I guess you call it anniversary, of when things officially changed in the United States and in particular in sports, but really with everything. And so we got all that going on today on the show, which, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Like I always tell you, you won't do any better than having a warranty, having peace of mind on the car you own. And when you buy anything from Bill Curry Ford, whether it's one of the brand new ones, and they've got tons of those, or whether it's one of the pre-owned or used ones, and they've got plenty of those too, the warranty applies. And this means if you buy a car at Bill Curry Ford, no matter where you are, as long as you're still the one who owns it, nationwide, unlimited, that's what the words mean, lifetime warranty. Engine trouble? Could be a couple years from now, could be 5 years from now, could be whatever years from now. Bring it back into the service center. You are covered under the warranty. Either way, and obviously you hope that never happens, you don't have to worry about it is the main thing. You also get the first year free service. Bring it in. They'll take care of the oil changes and all that. 10 years roadside assistance. You don't need AAA. If you're a Bill Curry Ford, that's covered too. All these things come with the deal. If you want to go see them, they're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, where they've always been, just north of Hillsboro there on the east side of the road. Of course, the website's a great way to get started. Go there now, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can browse all the inventory. Plenty of room for social distancing, plenty of room for all the precautions in their massive lot and massive showroom, which they just upgraded, by the way. But if you don't want to do that, that's fine. They'll bring you any car, not only that you buy, but even if you want to just test drive it, just give them a call, see what you like on the website. They will deliver it to your house for a test drive or anywhere, your office, whatever you prefer. All of it's taken care of. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, or on the website, BillCurryFord.com. So thanks to them, as always. And my good friend, the GM, Sean Sullivan. And I know he's excited. He's a big draft guy. And you've heard him on shows on Joe Bucks Fan before. And, of course, the draft is coming up. Free agency is usually what leads into that, though. And so that's the main focus right now. And next time we talk, next time I do a show, we will have passed the deadline. Or not the deadline, but the opening day for when players can sign with other teams. So right now, starting Monday, and it may already be Monday by the time you're listening to this, but starting Monday, players can talk with other teams, known as the legal tampering period, one of my favorite terms in sports, legal tampering. Then on Wednesday, March 17th, they can actually sign with other teams, and that's when we'll start learning lots of things. But we learned more this week because, like we keep talking about, we've got the Big Eight, if you will. And I even call it kind of a Big Seven because I've kind of ruled out Leonard Fournette's return. So those seven or eight names of the Bucs free agents that something has to be done on, or if nothing is done on, they leave, are Chris Godwin, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett, Rob Gronkowski, and Ndamukong Suh, Suckup, our kicker, and then Antonio Brown and Leonard Fournette. So I've got three columns that I've been keeping, in column, a pending column, and an out column. So I went ahead already and put Fournette in the out column. It doesn't seem like he's going to be back. He's priced himself out with his play, which we all appreciate, which helped us win a Super Bowl. And I wish him luck, and I don't see any way the Bucs would bring him back. So now we put Chris Godwin and Lavonte David in the in column. Let's talk about Godwin first. Not a big surprise. He gets franchised by the Bucs. We had talked about that likelihood on prior shows. And it wasn't just us. I mean, it was something that was supposedly coming. So his number, it looked like it was going to be $16.5 million, something like that. Ends up being, the exact number is $15.93 million that he gets for the 2021 season. He's got a one-year deal now, basically, and he's a free agent again after next season. And, you know, he may well still be leaving after that season. Of course, the salary cap this year has now officially been released. It's $182.5 million. And that's, I believe, an 8% decrease from years before. And usually not only does it not decrease, it increases. Obviously, with COVID and everything that's happened and revenues and attendance down, this is a product of that. What the hope is, especially with both, A, COVID hopefully going by the wayside at some point in the not too distant future, and B, signing new TV contracts, teams are all anticipating, okay, belt-tightening type year, we got to kind of watch it a little bit, but expecting much bigger numbers for the cap in 2022, 2023, and beyond. So teams are just trying to figure it out right now. The Bucks are most prominently among those with their cap situation. But then, hey, we got room to play with down the road. And that we'll get to that in a minute because that leads to restructuring of contracts and adding years on the back ends of contracts just to be able to spread out bonus money and things like that, which is what they did with David. But anyway, cap's $182.5 million. Important to keep in mind now that the cap is a baseline number. Almost no team has that exact cap because the NFL allows teams to transfer cap space from year to year. So if you're $5 million under the cap in a certain season, the next season they let you have that $5 million. You see, it used to be use it or lose it. It used to be this is the number every year. You can go up to it or not. That's up to you, but this is the number. Now, I'm just making up numbers now. Let's say the cap's $190 million and you spend $183 million. You can use that $7 million that you didn't go up to the cap and add it to next year's cap. So it goes both ways, though, too. So everybody starts out at this year $182.5 million. But the Browns, for example, they're the greatest example. Their cap this season is actually $212 million because that's how far under it they were in prior year or years. And so they're all the way up over $210 million for their cap. The lowest cap this season, working off the baseline, 182.5, is actually, you guessed it, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are actually after the Super Bowl with the bonuses and everything that kicked in for everybody, and they pretty much maxed out the bonuses winning the Super Bowl. So they actually went about $500K over, which means the league cap is 182.5, but the Bucs' personal cap this year is $182 million even. And that's not a big difference, obviously, but they certainly don't get any extra room, and $182 million is the lowest of any team in the NFL this year. So currently, where are the Bucs right now? It is showing, there's websites and ways to look this up and things like that. SpotTrack is one. Greg Allman tweeted, the Bucs beat writer for The Athletic, that the NFLPA, according to their numbers, and they show you the numbers that their union members are receiving right now, the Bucs have 48 players signed and are currently $3.7 million over the cap. Now, that doesn't include Levante David, who we're going to talk about in a moment, who was re-signed this week. If you count Levante David, that's 49 players signed and $7.2 million over the cap. So they obviously have to sign a few more players to get to the roster number, and they're already over by $7.2 million. What are they going to do? This is where there will be restructuring. There will be things like that that will help them. Even they have a lot of work to do, no question about it. I mean, this is not going to be easy, and certainly depending on what their intentions are, we don't know what they intend to do. They may have already made up their mind on a few guys, and they know they've got some relief. But yeah, they're over already. Still a few guys to go, and so that means doing either things like what they did with Levante David or doing things like what they did or will do, with adding years, restructuring. Players do that, get the same money they would have gotten. In fact, they actually get the money sooner in some cases. It's just, you're basically manipulating salary cap hits. So what are we talking about? Levante David. Okay, I said on last week's show, I thought there was a possibility that if another team made some bonzo offer, I said I'd be okay if the Bucks didn't go nuts to match something crazy. If another team went crazy, it doesn't appear anybody did. They end up getting Levante David officially at 2 years, $25 million. So that works out, and $20 million of that is guaranteed. That works out, obviously you don't have to be a math major, $12.5 million a year. Ooh, big cap hit. But no, what the Bucks did was add three voidable years on the end of the contract. He still gets all the money he's going to get, but what can you do with those extra years? Even if he never plays for the team for those years or whatever, you can spread your roster, your signing bonus across those. So if you get like a $10 million signing bonus and you have a one-year contract, it's all in the 1 year. So then you just say, oh, how about we give you three voidable years? Now it's 4 years, $10 million instead of 1 year. You still get your $10 million and you get it at the same time, but now the Bucks are allowed to count $2.5 million against the cap per year. So it drastically lowers your cap hit this year. It adds cap hit to future years when you may not even be playing for the team, dead cap money, because I don't think Levante David, you know, is going to be here 5 years from now. But, okay, what did we just talk about? Yeah, in 2024, 2023, whatever it is, we're thinking the cap's going to be Bonzo 200 something million. No big deal to have some dead money at that point, and you can plan for it, never mind having the extra room. So that was the idea with Levante David. I love it, by the way. I want to make clear, last week I wasn't saying, who cares, Levante David can leave. I was only saying it wouldn't be the end of the world, and that if another team went nuts, we didn't have to go nuts. And the Bucks didn't have to go nuts. Now, Levante David probably could have gotten more. Redskins need a linebacker. There were some other teams. And there were probably some teams willing to offer more than that, but not crazy more than that, to where Levante David would have felt compelled to leave when he didn't want to. We know he didn't want to. I mean, he wants to be here. We want him here. Bruce Arians wanted him here. And now he's going to be here. So that keeps him paired up with Devin White. That keeps the Bucs defense on track to stay mostly together. Obviously, the big one now is Shaq Barrett. And that one, you know, when they franchise Godwin, now you're not going to do that with Barrett. You can only do one guy, so he's going to hit the open market. And unless the Bucs have already, you know, made some inroads with him, and that might be a tough one. We'll just have to wait and see. It's important to note, though, that during the Super Bowl celebrations and all that stuff, remember when everybody was, you know, just boozing out, spraying champagne all over each other, and Bruce Arians kept saying, your ass ain't going nowhere. He specifically said, your ass ain't going nowhere, to two people, like specifically, directly on mic. And the two people were Chris Godwin and Levante David, whose asses are not going anywhere. They are the two that have been re-signed. So that was good to see. And, you know, at this point now, we'll just have to wait and see. Gronkowski, I have him in the pending column, but he has said he wants to come back. He's not coming back to play with anybody but Brady. He'll be here. So if you count Fournette as out, Antonio Brown, I have a hard time visualizing that one too. You're really looking at now Shaq Barrett, Sue, and Suckup, those three that are like big question marks. What are they going to do? How are they going to do it? And we'll see. I mean, you know, there are ways. I mean, they've already shown, and not just the Bucks, but around the league, you've seen guys looking at restructures and things like that and just ways to get creative. And Tom Brady is, you know, obviously probably the next in line, the most prominent one. And you look at Dak Prescott. It's funny. Dak Prescott just signed a 4-year, $160 million deal with $126 million guaranteed. $126 million guaranteed. Okay. The first 3 years of that averaged $42 million a year. And then you look at Brady. And just like always, you know, Brady's name never shows up on these huge, big contracts, like the rankings. Here's the high. It doesn't show up on those. He's obviously making ridiculous money, but the Bucks do have a bargain in Tom Brady. It helps that he's been there, done that. It helps that his personal net worth is already in the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Not that guys don't care about making money, even if they already have it, but for someone specifically like Brady, I know there was a little bit of a Twitter argument because Rick Stroud, the Bucks beat writer, who's a friend, had tweeted out, you know, about, hey, what a deal Dak just got. Can you imagine? Like, you know, the Bucks really have it sweet with Brady. A bunch of people immediately tweeted back, he's got all the money in the world. His wife makes even more money than he does, blah, blah, blah. And Rick Stroud tweeted back, well, hey, you know, your wife's income is not a bargaining chip. And the team can't use your wife's income as a bargaining chip when they're trying to get you into a contract, which is true. But it also is true. I mean, you know, everybody's personal situation informs their decision-making, right? So you look at someone like Godwin, for example, made in the six figures his first year. And even last year, he only made, you know, $2 million, whatever it was. Looking for that big payday. And he ends up getting franchised. It wasn't an issue anyway. But, I mean, you know, that's someone, you know, who is well off, obviously, but does not have generational lifetime wealth beyond, exponentially beyond what anybody could ever hope for. Whereas if you're Tom Brady, I do think you, not just your wife's income, but I mean, your overall already what you've done. I mean, Tom Brady, again, he's worth what? I have to look it up. His net worth is probably, I mean, it's not a billion with a B dollars, but it's in the hundreds of millions. So yeah, well, I'm making 35 or 30 million instead of 45 million, or I got 28 million instead of 20 or 32. It doesn't care. It means nothing, you know? I don't think people realize sometimes, like, how much money that is. And I also don't think people realize that the bigger the money gets, people think the more it matters, but it's actually the less it matters. Like, if you make $70,000 a year, I'm just making up a number. If you make $70,000 a year, the bump up to, let's say, $85,000 a year in your salary is huge. And that's only $15,000, but I mean, that's a big deal. Like, if you make $70,000 a year and then you get a raise or you take a new job, whatever it is, and your new salary is $85,000 a year, that's a big deal in your life. Like, that changes things. Whereas if you go from, and you already have, mind you, let's say you have $400 million and your salary goes from $25 million to $30 million, which is $5 million, which is much more than $15,000, right? And yet that $5 million is actually much less than $15,000 relatively to what you're looking at. Never mind that, yes, again, Giselle also is worth hundreds of millions. Forget that part. You know, and hey, I'm a proud card-carrying member of the My Wife Makes Way More Than Me Club. But it's got nothing to do with that. It just has to do with everybody's personal situation, okay? Like, yeah, Tom Brady doesn't have to worry. Hey, what? Dak's getting 40-something million? How come I'm not getting 40-something? What does Tom Brady care? I mean, they're literally, it means, it'd be like you and me finding a $5 bill on the street. It's like, oh, hey, cool, $5. You don't go, like, call your friends and family when you do that. It's just, okay, whatever. So, Tom Brady, and there's a reason Tom Brady has 4 playoff wins in the last 2 months, whereas Dak has 1 in his career. Never mind all the reasons Tom Brady has all the playoff wins, and yet he still makes a little bit less. I mean, it does help your team sign other people, and it does pay for itself in the long run. I think Tom Brady would tell you it's worked out pretty well for him, both professionally and financially. But yeah, I mean, he could restructure, a few other guys could do things, and we will be, and if you keep it on joebucksfan.com, at all times you'll be updated up to the very millisecond about what is going on with all these things. But like I said, Barrett, Sue, Suckup, those are the big three to watch. Wanted to talk a little bit about, I wanted to give a kudos to the Bucks because they were voted, and this is a fan survey of season ticket members of all the teams. The Bucks ranked number 1 in the NFL in customer service experience satisfaction among season ticket members in a survey that recently came out. And it might be easy to say, oh, well, hey, that's what happens when you win the Super Bowl. Yeah, everybody's happy, everybody's feeling good, and that is true. But it's the 7th time in the last 9 years that the Bucks have been first in that category. And that's really impressive because until this year, those other 8 years were not good years for the most part. And it would I would have never get, like, I knew this already because, I mean, I remember it from other years, but, like, I wouldn't say, hey, there's no happier season ticket fan base than the Buccaneers fan base in any other year except for this year. And yet the Bucs have now won that award 7 of the last 9 years. So it's a testament to the organization, the way it treats season ticket holders and the way it runs. I mean, listen, I've had plenty of criticisms over the years, most of them football related, not as many customer service related, but some. But the numbers speak for themselves, so congrats to the Bucks. And I do plan on becoming at least a partial season ticket member again this coming season. I wanted to do it last season, but then that all got shut down. Never had the opportunity. And I said I was going to do it. I told y'all. I said, minute the Bucks fix their uniforms, it has nothing to do with anything besides that. If they fix their uniforms, I'll buy season tickets. Then they fixed them. And I wasn't going to give them a cent until they did that because that the old uniforms I thought were indicative of some other things. I said, I'm not going to pay into that. So they did their part. I couldn't do mine last year because they weren't selling season tickets. But I'm going to get back on the train this year. Of course, I will wait till after the preseason, as is my custom, and just buy them before the first game, but after the first or last home preseason game, because I'm not paying for the preseason games. And I encourage all you guys that are thinking about doing it. You know, they're not going to tell you no, they want your money. Just wait. till after they play their preseason game. I don't even know what the preseason is going to look like yet, if they're going to go back to normal this year or how they're going to do it. They still have not announced the 17th game, but everybody thinks that's coming. The schedule release has been, they've said they're going to do it in May. So we're just a month and a half from that, and we should get a lot more information by then. But of course, between now and then, we've got free agency, we've got the draft, and still, you know, it's not the same when you win the Super Bowl and this is what you want, but usually it's, oh man, we're picking 8th or we're picking 12th or even something just reasonably high where you're really looking forward to the draft. And hey, this year, oh, okay, we're picking 32nd, which is exactly where we want the Bucks to be picking. But I've been reading a few things and people are coming out with their mock drafts and things like that. And I'll get into all that in the coming weeks after free agency. But I keep seeing running backs pop up in people's mock drafts. I keep seeing running backs pop up on Twitter when people are talking about the Bucks draft. Najee Harris, who's a stud. Travis Etienne, who's a stud. If you're a listener to this show, and hopefully you're a convert and a believer. I don't even want to say believer, because believer makes it sound like it's some sort of opinion. Hopefully you're an understander, because this is a reality, okay? This isn't an opinion. This isn't a movement. This isn't a belief system. It's a reality. You don't need to draft a running back. I don't care who the hell it is in the first round. Whether you're picking 5th in the first round, especially if you're picking 5th in the first round, or whether you're picking at the bottom of the first round, and even beyond that. Like, I mean, you really don't have to. So yeah, Leonard Fournette's probably leaving. Okay. Do we not need to get a running back? No, we do. Get a running back. Absolutely. Do it in the later rounds. Do it in free agency. Just get a guy, okay? It's not as big of a deal as you think. And Leonard Fournette was big in the playoffs, okay? I'm not saying it doesn't matter. He helped them win a Super Bowl, okay? No question. I do not diminish the importance of the man. I'm just saying the way you acquire those people, how did they acquire Leonard Fournette? Do you all remember? Yeah, they just got him off. They just got him. Like, no, they could, anybody could have had him. They went and got him. That's how you get running backs, okay? You do not have to spend capital on them. I'm not saying it doesn't matter that you get one at all. Yeah, Leonard Fournette leaves, get another guy. But your odds of replacing him with someone effective are no different if you get a guy off the street or a guy in the 5th or 6th round or wherever the hell it is than if you reach and go high. You want a pass-catching guy. That's something they clearly could benefit from. And so if Keyshawn Vaughn could be that guy who they drafted last year, and even he was, I think, 3rd round. It's a little high, but okay. You know, or draft another one this year, again, in the later rounds. Do not use your first round pick on a running back. It's just, you don't have to do it. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a stud too, and he's just over there with the Giants, and they're just whatever. You know, you don't need to do that. It's just not important enough. And when I say it's not important enough, I don't mean it's not important at all. I just mean it's something you can do other ways without expending as much capital. So, hey, Najee Harris, love him. I'm a Gator fan. Watched him, you know, destroy the Gators. Well, he didn't destroy the Gators, but I watched him play, okay, in the SEC. Etienne for Clemson, watched him plenty. Of course, UFSU fans know about him too in the ACC. Great players. And if they're around in round 4, absolutely draft Najee Harris or Travis Etienne. But do not put the number 32 pick overall on that. You use it on the front 7 or whatever, or somewhere else. Bucks are in a good spot going into the draft. Not just obviously because they're the Super Bowl champions, but because they don't have a certain position that they have to get. They can sit back and, you know, there's needs, of course, and we'll talk about them. But whoever they think the best player is at the time they're picking, or if they really like someone, they don't have to be like, well, we really like this guy, but he's a blank and we need a blank instead. No, just draft whoever you want to. And in the meantime, you've got a pretty good team in the here and now. And we will know more about exactly how good that returning team is as we get closer and as free agency starts to kind of move through its cycle. So email me if you want to. I love hearing from you. If you disagree, comments, questions, cushion, discussion, you can always do it. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. BobbyGameDay at yahoo.com on Twitter. It's the same thing. You can get me at Bobby Game Day. They did give out the compensatory picks, by the way. The Bucks got a 6th rounder for losing Brashad Perriman. And it's an exchange thing. So it's like, how many free agents did you lose? How many did you acquire? And then they give you some picks on top of that. I don't even believe in compensatory picks. I think if someone's contract expires and they're a free agent, then that's it. You lost them. You don't need to get a pick back for that. But I'll take it. And other teams got them too. The Bucks sixth rounder, and they had lost a sixth rounder or moved a sixth rounder before. So the way it works out now, the Bucks have eight picks in the draft, one in each of the first six rounds, and then two in the seventh round. And that includes their 32nd pick. There were no, the compensatory picks are added to the ends of each round, and there were no compensatory picks added in the seventh round this year league-wide, which means the Bucks, since they're picking last in each round at the base order, will be the number 32 pick of the seventh round and final pick of the draft. It'll be Mr. Irrelevant, which the Bucks have only had one other time before. I think they drafted a kicker who never played for them. And so if you're into that whole thing, but that's still a few months away. Well, actually, no, it's not. It's less than 2 months away. So it's getting closer and closer. We'll talk about it more as we get closer. One other thing I wanted to bring up on the show today, I just wanted to touch on and look back on, since it is the 1 year anniversary of when the pandemic officially became like pandemic, you know, like a thing. And we all remember it. I mean, it's not exactly like a terrorist incident or a celebrity death or just a major event where you remember where you were. I do remember where I was. Maybe you do too. I don't know if it's something you could say everybody remembers where they were, but do you remember where you were on this night exactly 1 year ago when, you know, I remember hearing about COVID early in the year, and it's always my nature to downplay everything. I'm one of those nothing is that big of a deal guys. I don't get too high for the highs. I don't get too low for the lows. And I never think anything's going to be that big of a deal because most of the time things aren't that big of a deal. I remember hearing about COVID, but I remember hearing about, you know, H1N1, the swine flu or whatever. You know, there's been a few over the years at that time that had come and gone and didn't have any effect at all on either my life or the life of anybody I know, which doesn't mean things, just because something doesn't affect you doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But, you know, what do we base our impressions on? You know, what does this mean? Not just for me, or at least somebody I know had something happen to it, you know, and nothing had ever happened with swine flu. It wasn't that big of a deal. And a couple other things that have come through. And I thought this would be like that. I was like, okay, whatever, this COVID thing. I mean, it, you know, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not too worried about it. So I remember when things started kind of getting, like, the possibility of things getting canceled started moving around. And what gets to me? You want to get my attention? What gets my attention? Probably the same with you if you're listening to this show. Sports gets your attention, right? So when they started talking about maybe moving some games around, I was like, whoa, that's not nothing now. That's a big deal. And then I remember this night. I was sitting on my couch. I work in TV production. Some of you may know I do like graphics and things like that and stats sometimes for like the Lightning games and the Rays games and spring training games and all kinds of stuff. So I was set to work the Lightning game the next day. They were playing the Flyers. It was a Thursday. And I was sitting on my couch that night, and we were watching all the college basketball tournaments. This is my favorite, one of my favorite few weeks of the year is championship week this week with the conference tournaments. Selection Sunday is one of my favorites. And then the NCAA tournament, I love. I'm a college basketball fan, but I'm not even like a huge college basketball fan. I just love this particular time of year. So I remember the Jazz game and Rudy Gobert, the Jazz player, testing positive. I remember like watching on ESPN, and they're like breaking into their coverage of whatever they had on, and they said, oh, the team trainer ran out onto the court during play and like told everybody to get off the court. They cleared the arena, and I was like, uh-oh, that's when it hit me, like, this is a big deal. That's how you get my attention. You could have told me, like, hey, a bunch of people just went to the hospital. I'd be like, whatever, it's fine. But you tell me, oh my God, they just stopped an NBA game in the middle of play in the first quarter and told everybody to leave the arena, that gets my attention. I know I'm not trying to say I'm bragging about this, but I just, that's how my mind works. So I was like, oh. And then I turned to my wife, I said, well, if they're doing this for this NBA game, I can't imagine. I've got work tomorrow night with the Lightning game. They're going to move this thing back. And at the time, thinking, okay, they're going to stop for a few days and kind of everybody catch their breath. And, you know, it's just amazing how much everything changed, how quickly and how we didn't realize it at the time. I remember picking my daughter up from her preschool, and it was her last year at the preschool, and picking her daughter up. Her spring break was going on when this happened, so it was the Friday before. And I remember picking her up and not thinking much of it and just kind of joking with her teacher. I was like, well, see, after spring break, I guess, you know, not really thinking I'd never walk into those hallways again. And I didn't. I picked my daughter up. I walked her out of that preschool. She finished the year virtually. I mean, she still did it, you know, the Zoom stuff. But I, to this day, I've never set foot inside her preschool building again. She had stuff in her locker. They left it out. We had a drive-by graduation out in the parking lot. Still haven't been inside the building. Still never got to say goodbye to her teachers face-to-face, although I've talked to them. And just little things like that that at the time, I was completely mentally unprepared for it. I know a lot of you were too. And if you think about what's happened over the past year, and I don't want to downplay it because I know a lot of people, I have personally not lost anybody to COVID. And even though all of our lives have changed, my life honestly has not had a major change. And I consider myself very fortunate for that. I know some people probably do know people who have been lost to COVID, or at the very least, you know, everybody's had, whether it's financial losses, whether you've completely lost your job or had your job altered greatly. I mean, there's all kinds of effects. And I don't want to downplay any of them, you know, but looking back over the past year, I remember how scared I was at first, and this sounds, I'm trying to make this not sound so bad. I thought to myself, oh my God, they're not going to be able to, no one's going to let us leave this house. And when I say let us, I don't mean actually let us, I just mean there won't be anywhere to go. And I was like, oh my God, it's me and a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, and we're just going to be at the house all the time. And I was scared to death of that. And I love my kids, I love spending time with my kids, but That I was thinking this is just going to be indefinite like this. And it was for a little while, and it went fine. But, you know, we also stayed active, which I still kind of shake my head. And I'm not getting political here or anything. Everybody's got their own philosophies, though, with germs and with, you know, contagious stuff in general. But I still see on Twitter sometimes people saying, oh my God, you know, I miss all the things we had before COVID. And I'm like, you know, We have most of them back now. I know it varies from state to state, but I mean, school is back in. And again, without being political in any way, I do believe school should be back in. I'm glad it is. We're playing our Little League games again. You know, yeah, we don't go to restaurants indoors, but you can still eat outdoors now. You could always go outside and ride your bike and things like that. And in general, I've been able, and my family's been able, to not have our lives change that much. Now, again, I know everybody's situation is different, but I encourage everybody, you know, I just shake my head when I see these people talking about how that, oh, you know, we'll never get back to the way it was. And when this, you know, the damage is irreparable. If you lost somebody, that's certainly true. You know, you can't get back that person. Loss of income and things like that. Yes, you can't get back that lost income going backward. You can only go forward. But as far as your lifestyle, I mean, it really is as much or as little as you want it to be. And I feel like now, and my wife has the vaccine because she's a medical worker. I haven't gotten it yet. I'll get it as soon as they tell me to get it. But now that the vaccine's making its way through society and making its way, it's certainly the older population is getting close now. I think they're at 75% or something like that. You know, it's heartening to see, and I know, you know, we're going to let fans into the Lightning games and the Raptors games here coming up. Not a lot. It still sucks going to a game and seeing very few people. But if that's the worst, like for me, honestly, and maybe this is, you know, my privilege, I guess. The worst part of all this has been the sports not being the same. And if that's the worst part of this for you too, then you're very, very lucky. I consider myself very, very lucky. But I remember how sad I was. And when I say the worst part of all this is the people that have died, okay? I mean, I meant the worst part of all this as far as, you know, things I've noticed in my life personally. I haven't had anybody lost to COVID. That's not to say that other people haven't, okay? I just mean, like, the most pronounced effect this has had on my life has been all the sports. And I work in sports, and I sports are my hobby and my passion and my career. You know, but that, I remember the saddest thing in the world feeling like was Selection Sunday last year. at 5 p.m. when I knew the bracket show would have been on, and they canceled the NCAA tournament. And there was no bracket show. And I mean, I love that show. I love the NCAA tournament. It's this Sunday, the selection Sunday. And I remember, like, I was just like, wow, we're just done. Like, they're not even going to try and move it. I wasn't criticizing them, but I mean, it just wasn't even an option. It was just, yep, we're done. Everybody's just shut down. And at the time, we didn't know for how long. And now it's a year. And in some ways, it feels like it was 5 minutes ago. And in some ways, it feels like it was 50 years ago. You know, how much has happened the past year. But I encourage everybody to stay positive. I encourage everybody. And, you know, obviously, well, here's the other thing. All this happened in the past year. So did the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, the Rays going to the World Series coming up just short, and the Bucks winning the Super Bowl. Like, it's unfathomable, really. Like, if you had told me all the different things that would happen in the past 365 days that have actually happened, like, people always say, you know, you can't make this stuff up, and, you know, the movies have nothing on real life. And it's true. Like, real life will provide you with all the entertainment, or I don't want to say entertainment, but real life will provide you with all the unexpected things and highs and lows that you need. Like, you don't even have to write scripts because it's all there. And so as we sit here on March 11th, 2021, you know, I feel optimistic, and certainly I hope things continue on the track they've been on, and it has gotten better, and I hope that it will get better. But I want to thank you guys for staying with the free stretch, and certainly the Bucks did their part and won a Super Bowl during this whole time. And we are going forward just like everybody else. We got free agency next week. We've got all the other things that come along with that, the draft and everything else. And we will be back next week on Thursday with the knowledge of what has happened in those first day and a half of free agency. Because again, Wednesday is when teams can start actually signing guys, although they can start talking to them on Monday. So we'll have all those updates for you. In the meantime, keep it tuned to joebucksfan.com. Okay. Follow him on Twitter at JoeBucksFan. Thanks to the Joes for putting me on here. It's the single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere, and you'll be kept completely up to date at all times. Thanks to them. Thanks to our friends at Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. Thanks to all of you for listening. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the final edition of the Free Stretch pre-free agency. We'll be back next week. And in the meantime, have a safe, fun weekend. The weather is beautiful in the Tampa Bay area for an indefinite amount of time now. And it's going to be a lot of nice things going outside and fun times doing things like that. I'll talk to you next week, wherever you are. For now, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.